It used to be said of so-called respectable women that they should appear in the news at birth, upon marriage, and upon their deaths, and less privileged women appeared equally rarely. Well, no longer. Women are not just appearing in the news, they're telling their own stories in all kinds of ways, in blogs, movies, Supreme Court briefs, and memoirs. In honor of Women's History Month, we're making a special effort to hear from women telling their own stories, like Sybil Heidel Morial. She's probably not as well known as her son Mark, a former mayor of New Orleans and now head of the National Urban League, or her late husband Dutch, who served as New Orleans' first African-American mayor. Yet hers is the story of women throughout the centuries who've played critical roles, but often behind the scenes. Sybil Morial's new memoir is called Witness to Change, From Jim Crow to Political Empowerment. Sybil Morial joined us from member station WWNO in New Orleans, and I asked her about her childhood, which she talked about as a magical time and place, a cocoon that shielded her from many of the degradations of Jim Crow.
My family was middle class, and they provided a good life in this cocoon where we were exposed to many things through the two African American universities. We couldn't go to the public places, the symphony, the opera, the theater. So we went to what was provided by these two black schools. It was a happy time. In my book, Andrew Young, once UN ambassador, does the foreword, and he talks about this blessed life. But when we stepped out of our homes, here we were, blocked from everything, you know, subject to humiliation, couldn't go to public places. So it was sort of a double life.
Well, you talked about that, your childhood friend, Andy Young, an incident in the park one day. Will you talk about that?
Yes, we were bicycling in the neighborhood, and City Park was not very far from my house. And we went to the entrance of the park, and it looked so beautiful, the architecture of the museum at the end of this long walk, the lagoons on the side, the trees and shrubbery. And we dared to go in. We rode our bikes in and were talking under the trees and where it was cool, and pretty soon a policeman came up and shook his nightstick at us and said, "You little ends, get out of here. You know you don't belong here." And he was, you know, very aggressive. So we turned our bicycles around and left the park. And after we got outside, we stopped to catch our breath and talked. Said, "Look, we can't let our parents know this because they know we are not supposed to go in the park. We were not allowed there." And they didn't know that story until years later. And by then, the rules were changing. And Jim Crow was on the run.
Mm. Talk to me about your husband, if you would, your late husband, Dutch.
I met him one summer at a great books club. We established our own book club because we couldn't belong to the one at the public library. We couldn't even go in the public library. We had our own black library. And he was there. And it was 2 months after the Brown decision. And so we talked about that every night. He was a young attorney practicing with the dean of black attorneys, who was involved with Thurgood Marshall in changing the state laws. But he was involved, and, you know, pretty soon he looked at the demographics of the city, and he realized that, you know, that we needed representation in the political circles. So, but when I met him and when we married, that was not the plan because it was, you know, unreachable.
Did you ever feel, how can I say, annoyed that the women did not get as much recognition as the men for their involvement in the movement? I do want to mention that, you know, you started, for example, a civic league to register African Americans to vote in the 60s and the 70s because African Americans weren't allowed to join the League of Women Voters. And there are all these ways in which, you know, women were really involved in all the major movements. But until very recently, their roles were really not acknowledged. And I just wondered, did that ever bother you?
Well, it bothered me enough to make me try to change it. You know, when I organized the Louisiana League of Good Government, we were young, we had children, we had careers, but we wanted to do this. And there were a couple of incidents in my life that made me want to just take my place in this movement as a woman. And I remember an incident. Martin Luther King was an ordained minister. We were at Boston University together. He was in graduate school. I was in undergraduate school. But he often did sermons at churches when a minister had to be out of town. And we in the dormitory always went because he was such a spellbinding preacher. But I remember one of his sermons, he talked about women. Woman is a great institution, he said. And he talked about all of our assets, our resourcefulness, our courage, our love, all of that. And that sort of got me thinking, not full, but in the back of my mind, yes, we are. Yes, we are. I wasn't a flag-waving feminist, but I was a really deeply concerned and involved feminist.
That's Sybil Heidel-Muriel. Her new memoir is Witness to Change, From Jim Crow to Political Empowerment. Mrs. Muriel, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's been my pleasure to talk to you, Michelle.